welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's past. I'm Mark Levionier, your host for an hour of crime. Later on, we'll hear an episode of Counter Spy, but right now, Bulldog Drummond, part of the Mutual Broadcasting System's Friday night lineup at 9:30, we hear the case of the bookstore from December 24th, 1947.
Fog, out of the night, and into his American adventures comes Bulldog Drummond.
That's the way it began. Crack of lightning, a roll of thunder. And then the heavens opened and the rain fell in torrents. I scurried to cover under a storefront canopy and waited for a break in the weather. The store was one of those curious little bookshops you find in the narrow streets of Lower Manhattan. I was looking over the titles of the books in the cluttered, ill-lit window when from behind me I heard her voice.
I beg your pardon.
I turned to see what the storm had passed my way. Right then and there, I was struck with the spectacular truth of the old adage relating to what an ill wind blows. She was blonde, blue eyes, young, and more than adequately proportioned.
Please, I wonder if you'd do me a favor.
That all depends. What is it you...
Put your arms around me.
Put my arms... What?
Please, hold me, quickly. He's coming now.
Who? What are you...
Please, don't ask questions. Just do as I tell you. Can't you do that for me?
Well, very well. I must. I'll force myself. How's this?
Tighter.
As you say. This, all right?
He mustn't see my face. Kiss me.
This becomes increasingly mysterious and interesting.
Here he comes. Kiss me. Hurry.
These things shouldn't be rushed, however, under the circumstances.
You can let me go now. He went by. Thanks very much.
We hardly know each other.
Is it necessary?
I take it then that I'm any old port in a storm.
You've been very helpful.
Well, for identification's sake, just in case you should run into this mooring again, I go under the name of Drummond, Captain Hugh Drummond. I didn't get your name.
I didn't give it.
What about the man who was following you? Who was he?
I don't know.
I don't believe you. Where do we go from here?
In that bookstore.
Both of us?
Uh-huh. There's a book I want you to pick out for me.
You haven't been very open with me. What makes you think I'll continue to be helpful?
Oh, you will. I have a gun.
Well?
And you can see it's aimed right at your heart. Now, you have everything straight?
Yes. The book is called The Lonely Trail. It's on the shelf at the back of the store.
That's right. Here comes the proprietor.
Good evening.
Rather debatable.
But it's comfortable in here, sir.
A little close.
Are you looking for something in particular?
No. No, we're just browsing around.
I see. Go right ahead. If I can be of any help, just call.
If the opportunity presents itself, I most certainly will.
I told you not to try any monkey business.
You can't kill me for trying, or can you?
That depends on you. You go back there and get that book. I'll be standing right here by the window. And remember, you won't be out of my sight for a second.
I walk to the back of the shop. As I went, I looked back over my shoulder. She was standing there, her eyes fixed on me, her hand in her coat pocket. The Lonely Trail. There it was in the circulation section. It was crammed tight between two other volumes. I pulled it down off the shelf. It seemed to be an ordinary enough book. I riffled the pages quickly. Nothing dropped out. Now, what was this all about? Then, I felt someone standing next to me.
Good book?
I beg your pardon?
I said, is it a good book?
I don't know. It was recommended to me in a rather odd fashion.
That's right.
Can you do me a favor? I'm in a bit of a jam. It's over this book.
What kind of a jam?
Well, if you'll turn around, you'll notice there's a young lady.
What young lady?
The one standing near the front window.
There's nobody there near the window.
What? Oh, she's gone.
All right. What is this?
Believe me, there was a young lady there a moment ago. And frankly, it's a great relief to see her gone. She had an automatic pointed at me.
An automatic, huh? Like this?
Yes, just, Oh, you too.
All right. Now walk out of the store ahead of me, and no tricks. Sit down over there on that chair.
See here, would you mind telling me what this is all about?
Sit down, I said. Now, go ahead and give me the story.
But I've told you everything. Believe me, I was standing under that store canopy when the young lady came along.
No! I said I wanted it straight. Oh, where do you fit in it? Where?
I told you I don't know what you're talking about.
Come on, give me the story. Give it to me straight, or else I'll let that lying face of yours right out of your head. Oh, go on, start talking.
You're making a mistake. There's nothing I can tell you. This going over you're giving me won't do any good.
Oh, no?
If you'll just permit me to show you my identification.
Get your hand out of that pocket.
Yes,
I said put your hand down. Now stand up. Come on, get up. Now turn around. Face the wall. Now get this. I'm giving you one more chance. Just one more chance. If you don't open up now, I'm getting it out of you the hard way. And when I'm through, maybe you won't do any talking ever.
I told you I haven't the faintest idea what you want from me.
Okay. Then maybe this'll give you the idea.
I felt a tearing pain in the back of my neck. A low, dull, buzzing sound danced in my ears. I went spinning downward in a thousand black circles, down and down and down. And then I hit something soft and bouncy, and I started up through the black well of circles. The strange buzzing in my ears dissolved into a more familiar sound. My eyes slowly opened. I was in an auto. It was a taxi. Oh.
Coming around, huh?
What?
Feeling better, bud?
Well, alive anyway. Where are we, driver?
Central Park. Some of that stuff they pass out for whiskey can be awful rugged, can't it?
Tell me, how did I get in this cab?
Friend of yours, I guess. He handed me a couple of bucks and told me to take you two stews for an airing.
Two?
Yeah, you and your chum back there.
I looked at the seat beside me. There was someone slumped in the corner, against the armrest. I pulled the hat back from his face. It was the fellow who had pushed me around in the room.
How's your pal doing back there?
My pal wasn't doing very well. My pal was dead.
He's still out, huh?
Yes, quite.
Maybe you want to take him someplace and sober him up, huh?
643 West 69th Street, driver. I'm taking him home with me.
Yes, what? Oh, Captain Drummond, it's you. What happened? I've been waiting for you over 2 hours. Where have you been, sir?
Believe it or not, Denny, I was delayed by a kiss.
A likely story. Just look at you, my...
I got off lucky. Look at him.
What?
This gentleman stretched out on the floor here.
Oh, dear. Who is he?
I don't know. There wasn't any identification in his clothes.
Well, where did he come from?
I thought it wise to bring him home with me, Denny. From the looks of things, it might have appeared as if I'd done it.
Did what?
Murdered him.
He's dead, sir.
Very dead, Denny.
Oh, dear.
Here, help me lift him inside.
Yes, but...
Come along, Denny. Hurry, before someone walks through this corridor. Ready?
Yes, sir, but hardly willing.
Let's go.
Really, Captain Drummond, things have come to a pretty pass. Finding corpses is bad enough, but bringing one home as a guest, well, really...
It'll only be a brief stay, Denny, I promise you. We'll take him in the living room. All right, now, put him down on the sofa.
What do we do now, sir?
First, I'm going to check on his identity. I want you to take a set of his fingerprints, and then I'll have Inspector Hogan make a check for me.
You're going to tell Hogan we have a corpse here?
Not until I get a report on the prints, Denny, and then...
Oh, sir.
What's the matter?
Oh, my.
Denny, what is it?
The young lady, sir.
What young lady?
The one who's waiting to see you. She said it was very important. I had her wait in the library. Maybe she overheard us bring him in here.
What did she want to see me about?
Well, she was very indefinite, sir, but persistent. She merely made mention of a book she said you would be interested in. The title was, let me see, something like The Lonesome...
The Lonely Trail?
Yes, that's it, sir.
The young lady, Denny, is she blonde, about 26, very attractive?
Oh, very.
She's in the library now?
Yes, sir.
Show her in, Denny, show her in.
Here?
Certainly.
Well, but that corpse, you're going to let her see it?
That's my intention.
Oh, very well, sir.
Denny opened the door.
This way, miss. Captain Drummond is in here.
Presently, I saw her standing there in the doorway, the young lady of the bookshop. I knew it would be she, yet somehow her presence was a minor shock to me. But not quite the shock that was to come. Hers. I'll return to our story in just a moment. The young lady of the bookshop was walking toward me. I stood before the sofa, blocking the corpse from her view. I stood there and waited in silence.
Captain Drummond, I had to see you. I had to explain to you why I did what I did.
Well, go ahead.
You see, I'm being blackmailed. It's been a nightmare. My husband, Paul Altman, is overseas in Belgium. He'd been away for a long time, and I became friendly with another gentleman. It was perfectly innocent. But a photograph was sent to me in the mail one day. It was taken while Alan and I were dancing. My husband is very jealous.
And your husband might take that photograph in the wrong light.
Yes. Then I received another letter this morning. And it said that I should go to that bookstore, and in a copy of The Lonely Trail, I'd find another print of that picture, and directions where I could go to buy the negative.
I see. Mrs. Altman, will you come this way, please? I want to show you something. That body on the sofa there.
Oh!
That's what I meant by the murder. Do you recognize him?
Yes. Yes, he was the man who was following me.
I'll get it, Denny. You stay here with Mrs. Altman.
Yes, sir.
Yes?
Captain Drummond?
Yes?
I'd like to look through your apartment.
My apartment? Why?
I'm looking for a girl.
I see. And what makes you think the girl you're looking for is inside?
She was tracked to this building. I'm in a checking the other apartments. My name is Wilson. Here are my papers.
Treasury agent.
That's right. Now, do I get a look inside?
Come in.
Thanks.
Do you mind telling me why the Treasury Department is interested in the young lady you're looking for?
We're out to break up a counterfeit ring. Looks like she's tied up in it.
I see. Well, there's a Mrs. Altman inside.
Altman, hmm? What does she look like?
You'll see in a moment, Mr. Wilson. This way, please.
Look out, sir! She...
Denny, what in the deuce is the matter with you?
Oh, be careful, sir. She'll shoot.
Why are you holding your hands in the air?
That Altman woman, can't you see? She has a gun in my back.
Hey, what is this?
Put your hands down, Denny. She's gone.
What?
The dame plays a trick smart.
She must have gone out through the rear entrance.
Which way, Drummond?
Through that door, then turn left.
Well, she won't get far this time.
Let me know when you catch her, will you, Wilson?
Right, it'll be a pleasure.
Dear, I'm sorry, sir. I never expected...
Oh, that's all right, Denny. As Mr. Wilson says, she plays her tricks smart.
Who was he, that Mr. Wilson?
The Treasury Department seems to have an interest in Gene Altman, too, Denny. He's one of their agents. Now, tell me what happened in here.
Well, sir, the moment you left the room, she whipped out a gun, and she made me go through that corpse's coat. There was a book in the pocket. She took the book and then made me face the door. She stood behind me and said if I budged, she'd shoot.
So that's what she was after, the book.
Yes, and she got it.
A book, Denny, but not the one she was after.
Oh, but, sir, I handed it to her.
That was a duplicate copy.
What?
Yes. On the way home, I stopped to pick up an extra copy of The Lonely Trail. The one Mrs. Altman seems to prize so much is right here in my pocket. You wait here, Denny.
Oh, no, sir. I'm going with you. That bookshop has plunged you into enough trouble tonight, sir.
Very well, then, if you insist. Come on.
Good evening. May I help you?
I was in here earlier with a young lady.
I don't recall.
It was during the storm.
Is there something special you want?
Yes, information.
Now, this is a bookshop, as you can see.
It's information about a book.
A rare edition?
The Lonely Trail. I'm interested in finding out the last borrower.
I'm sorry, sir, but that information is a matter of our files. We're not disposed to release such data.
You know, it would be an easy matter for me to have the chief inspector down here.
Oh, please. Well, that won't be necessary. This way, please. The files are over in my desk. Here it is. The Lonely Trail. It was borrowed last by a Mr. John Diamond at 331 Elm Street, apartment 4B. Anything else, gentlemen?
No, thank you. That's all for now. Come on, Denny.
Yes, sir.
Evans. He was here. I gave him Diamond's address, but I couldn't help it. I'll take care of my end. He's on his way to talk to Diamond now. You'd better take care of that end. You better take care of it before he gets there.
Oh, there's the house, sir. 331.
All right, Denny, come on, hurry.
If we could make our way through this crowd. I say, I wonder what's happened here.
Hey.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What's the matter with you? Why don't you look where you're going?
I beg your pardon, but we're trying to get through this crowd.
The police say nobody gets through the line. You're just going to have to wait, mister.
Well, what's wrong?
Plenty. And of all places, it had to be one of my tenants. A man just jumped out of that fourth-story window up there. They're taking him to the morgue now.
Fourth floor, that house 331?
Yes, sir.
The man who jumped, do you know his name?
Sure, I told you I was his landlady, didn't I? Diamond. His name was John Diamond.
I say there's nothing in the dresser, sir. Every drawer is empty.
Come in here, Denny.
Did you find something, sir?
Here, look at these.
What are they?
Photographic development trays. Here's a bottle of print fixing solution. And this is a bottle of developer. I found them under the table. Whoever cleaned this place out overlooked these bottles. That was a break for us.
What do you mean, sir?
Diamond used this part of his apartment as a dark room.
Oh, then, sir, Mrs. Altman may have been telling the truth about the blackmail negative.
Perhaps part of the truth, Denny. Anyway, I'm sure now that Diamond was murdered because he, too, was connected with a Lonely Trail.
But they say he jumped out of the window.
No, Denny, he didn't jump. He was pushed. Here, look here. This window he went through was locked.
Oh, I say.
He was pushed through the glass pane. Evidently, someone wanted to prevent him from talking to us. Now, Denny, let's get to work. Pull down that shade. We're going in for some amateur photography.
Very well, sir. But now you've got me in the dark.
Yes, well, that's just where we'll both be in a few seconds, in the dark. It's our one hope now of seeing light. Close the door.
Now what, sir?
Some developer fluid in his pan. All right, now some fixing fluid in this other pan. Now snap off the light.
I say, what are you doing, sir?
Tearing off the paper on the inside of the back cover of The Lonely Trail.
And what do you expect to find?
I've found it, Denny. I've got it.
What? What, sir?
A piece of photographic paper, I think.
Well, let's turn on the lights and see what's on it.
Stay away from that light switch.
Oh, really, sir? This is getting to be...
Now, hold on, Denny, hold on. just a few seconds, you can turn on the light.
Now, sir.
In a moment. All right, Denny, the light.
Thank heavens.
Well, Denny, there it is.
What does it mean?
A code to this book, The Lonely Trail.
What?
There's a message for us in this, and I'm sure it's far more exciting than the actual literary content. Get out your pencil, Denny. The code message is given by page and letter number. Ready?
Ready, sir.
Page 2, fourth word, second letter. A.
A.
Page 9, 10th word, first letter. L.
L.
Page 16, fifth word, third letter.
Yes, I have that, sir. The letter H. Go ahead, sir.
That's all, Denny. Read it back.
Oh. Altman arrives, New York, on freighter SS Granton, 24th. Get to him before his wife. They plan a switch.
The Granton, tomorrow night.
Oh, I don't get it, sir. What kind of a switch do you suppose it refers to?
I'm not sure, Denny. But we're going to be down at the docks when the Granton ties up tomorrow night. And you can look forward to seeing some familiar faces.
Mrs. Altman hasn't moved, sir. You can see she's still standing out there on the pier. You know, Captain Drummond, sometimes I don't understand you at all.
No, Denny, why?
Letting that woman run around loose, she might slip through your hands again.
Not a chance this time, Denny. As a matter of fact, here she comes.
I say, look, there's a man with her.
That, Denny, would be Mr. Altman.
Now what's our move?
We're going to welcome Mr. Altman back to these shores. Get set, they're coming right by us. Good evening.
You?
Gee, who is this?
Don't try anything, either one of you. You're covered.
But what is this supposed to be? Who are these men, Jean?
Don't worry, Paul. I can explain everything.
That's a familiar tune you're playing, Mrs. Altman. But I'm becoming rather bored by it. So if you don't mind, I'd like to hear some...
Hi, so you got them, Drummond. You beat us to it. Good work.
Thanks, Wilson.
This about cleans up the counterfeit ring. Do they talk?
Not yet.
Well, don't worry. They will. They'll talk plenty. Uncle Sam's got a lot of questions to ask them. So if you don't mind, I'll take them off your hands.
Not at all.
But I say, Captain Drummond made the capture.
Denny, the Treasury Department has prime jurisdiction. They're all yours, Wilson.
Like I said, Drummond, nice work, and thanks. Okay, you two. Get in the car. All right, Joe, let's go.
Nice work, Matthews. You almost had me believing that treasury act of yours. Mr. Wilson, the tea man. How did you ever think it up?
Shut up.
Hey, what is the matter with you?
I said shut up.
What's the matter with him, Jean?
They're on to us, Paul. They're wise.
What?
That's right, Altman. Wise. You two are going to skip on us with those rocks. I saved you from that copper for a reason, Altman. I saved you so I could handle you my way. All right, Altman. Where are the stones?
I told you I don't have them with
You're
me.
You're a liar, a lousy liar. Where are they?
Believe me,
it's
Matthews.
It's no use, Paul. Tell him. Maybe he'll give us a break.
What is the matter with you, you crazy?
They're in the heel of his shoe.
Jean!
Take that shoe off, Altman. Now, never mind. You wanted those stones for yourself. Okay, you're going to have them. For a while.
What?
You wanted to hog those diamonds. All right, so I'll give you a break. You can die with them on.
But I...
Now, stand back, both of you. Stand back so I can get a good look at those double-crossing faces of yours when you get it. Yeah. That's it.
Drop that gun.
Come in.
Drop it, I said.
Get it, Denny.
With pleasure, sir.
He was going to kill us. He was...
Yes, yes, we heard everything outside. Everything we wanted to hear. Sorry to break up your party, Matthews.
How did you know? How did you get here?
To be quite frank, Matthews, I rather expected you to show up at the dock tonight with your Treasury agent act. There was only one thing to spoil it for you. A matter of fingerprints. A check through the FBI showed that the fingerprints of the unidentified corpse in my apartment were those of Charles Wilson, a real Treasury agent working undercover on a diamond smuggling syndicate. After I was knocked out, you killed Wilson, Matthews, just as you killed John Diamond.
I got nothing to say. You gotta prove that.
That won't be hard. And to get back to that book, The Lonely Trail, for a moment. There's a trail awaiting all of you. And it's a lonely, dreary trail. Because each of you is going to walk it alone. Next week, while Denny and I are driving home, a man is thrown in front of our car. We discover shortly that the man was dead long before this occurrence. This strange beginning leads to a story I call The Cat Who Liked Coffee. Be sure to listen, won't you?
Bulldog Drummond, on Tuned to Yesterday from December 24th, 1947, on the Mutual Broadcasting System. You are listening to An Hour of Crime on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. And now on to Counter Spy. At this point in the series, it had been on for 10 years, part of NBC's Thursday night lineup at 9:30. Over 7 million people tuned into this broadcast from February 14th, 1952.
And now, the Gulf Oil Companies and your neighborhood good Gulf dealer present Counter Spy.
Washington calling David Harding, Counter Spy. Washington calling David Harding, Counter Spy.
The Gulf Oil Companies and your neighborhood good Gulf dealer are proud to present
Counter Spy, a program especially designed to help investigate and combat the enemies of our country, both at home and abroad. This is David Harding. Last November, Congress passed the Boggs Act, an amendment to the federal narcotics law, providing for stiff, mandatory sentences for offenders. To implement this act, a special squad of 400 agents was carefully trained and assigned to narcotics duty. A series of nationwide mass arrests followed. The specific case you're about to hear has been selected from among hundreds because of its unusual nature. In the late afternoon of January 3rd this year, a young woman, worry stamped heavily on her face, walked across the dingy lobby of a cheap hotel in Washington's Skid Row section.
No rooms, girlie. All taken.
I don't want a room. I'm looking for someone who registered here. His name is Frank Stewart.
Hurry, girlie. Never heard of him.
I know he's here. What room is he in?
Now look, girlie, I told
Will
you.
Will
this
help?
Well, why didn't you tell me that?
What room?
2A, just up those stairs there. First flight, last room to the right.
Frank! Frank! Frank, I know you're in there. Please let me in.
Go away.
It's Elaine. Let me in, Frank.
No, I don't want to see you.
Open this door. I've got to talk to you.
It's no use. Go away, please.
Frank, I'm staying right here until you let me in. Frank.
Why'd you have to come here?
I've been looking for you for 2 days, worried half out of my mind.
Why'd you have to come? Why'd you have to see me like this? It would have been better if you'd never found me.
Sit down here on the bed. I want to talk to you.
Oh, leave me alone. Just leave me alone, will you?
Please sit down.
Let me go.
Can't you understand, Frank? I only want to help you.
Can't you understand I'm beyond help? Can't you see? Are you blind? Go on, get out. Let me alone.
Frank. Frank.
I'm so sick.
You're going to get better now.
No. No, it's hopeless.
I'll get help.
Oh, it's too late. 3 months ago, maybe even two. But not now.
I've already spoken to a doctor. He said you can't.
You only hurt yourself doing that. It must look fine, a woman with the kind of job you have, with a brother like me. You only shamed yourself.
There's nothing to be ashamed of, Frank, any more than any other illness. Now, come on. I'm going to take you home.
I can't.
The doctor will tell us what to do. I'll take care of you. Don't you see, Frank? Everybody will want to help you.
But I don't want to help myself.
You will.
Don't you think I've tried? It didn't work. It's no use.
Frank, you're going to get well. You're going back and live a normal, healthy life. You're going to get well. You understand that?
What I've put you through, Elaine.
That's all past. I'm going to be proud of you, Frank. Very proud. Now you get dressed and washed.
But
do as I say. I'm going down to get you a container of coffee. I'll be back in a few minutes. Now you be ready.
I'll be ready.
Different, Mr. Harding. It's the same as if my brother Frank was murdered.
A little more water, Miss Stewart?
No, Mr. Peters. I'm all right now, thanks. Sorry, I made such a fool of myself, Mr. Harding.
Oh, you didn't at all.
I don't know what I would have done if you didn't see me right away. It's peculiar, isn't it? As an agent, I've worked on many cases, all kinds. But when you're personally involved, things are kind of different.
Well, I've known you long enough, Miss Stewart, to know you do nothing wrong, no matter what. A cigarette, Miss Stewart?
I would like one, yes. Thank you. You'd never know it, but I'm supposed to be the unemotional one in the family.
Now look, you've been under a terrific strain. I think you're doing just fine. Miss Stewart, is there anything else you could tell us about this?
I don't know. I may have forgotten something.
When did you first discover that your brother had become addicted?
For sure? Only a few weeks ago.
You didn't notice any symptoms before that?
I knew something was wrong, but I just thought he was tired, nervous, maybe overworked. Mr. Harding, I'd give anything to get the people responsible for Frank's death.
You didn't live with your brother, huh?
No, we had separate apartments.
You knew his friends?
All of them, I think, with one exception.
Who's that?
A man who came to Frank's apartment once while I was there. My brother got rid of him very hurriedly.
It could be the peddler, Chief. Yes, it could be. Do you remember what this man looked like?
Short, thin, cheaply dressed. Oh, and one other thing.
Yeah?
He had a twitch in his right eye.
I see. Fergus, this is Harding. Agent Stewart will be down there to identification in a few moments. Have the narcotics file ready for her to go through. All right, Fergus, thank you. Look, if you want, Miss Stewart, you can rest here a while and then go down to Idan.
No, I'd rather go right away.
Fine. Well, Peters and I should be back in about an hour, and while you're going through the photo file, we'll see what we can dig up in your brother's apartment.
Anything in that chest of drawers, Chief?
Uh-uh. Come on, Peters. Let's take the clothes closet.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see what's in the box up here on the shelf. You go through that suit, then.
Right. What's in the box, Chief?
Well, dropper, syringe, empty bottle, small burner.
Meant he was a mainliner?
Yeah. Gone as far as he could, I suppose. Anything in that suit?
Nothing. One suit left. Sold himself out completely.
In all ways. Oh, wait a minute.
Hmm?
His hat.
Anything in it?
Yeah. Here, paste it inside the band. Phone number.
Equator 2, 6843. Peddler's number, you think?
Well, it must be if he went through the trouble of hiding it.
I'll run it down.
Do that right away. And meet me back at the office.
Photograph, Mr. Harding.
Now, you're sure, Miss Stewart?
Yes. This is the man I saw visit Frank's apartment.
You have a look at him, Peters, again, will you?
Now, there's no doubt about it, Chief. That's the guy. After I checked on that phone number, I went to the address. I saw him go in.
What name's he using?
Arthur Dodge. What have we got on him?
Real name's Arthur Dayton, known also as Blinky Dayton.
Any record?
4 arrests on narcotics charges.
2 convictions.
Worked the East here, hmm?
No, on the West Coast.
Last known whereabouts? Delray, California.
Got too hot for him out there, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we're going to make it even hotter here for Mr. Blinky Dayton.
Yeah, what is it?
Is the man, Miss Stewart?
Yes, he's the one, Mr. Harding.
Harding?
Will you wait down in the car, please, Miss Stewart?
Yes, sir.
Hey, what is this?
We'll give you just one guess, Dayton.
That ain't my name. You got the wrong party.
Don't you wish it, Blinky.
What do you want with me? What was that dame fingering me for?
We'll talk about that inside.
What do you want with me, anyway?
We'd like to book you for murder.
Murder?
Yes. We'd like to, but we can't.
Look, what do you got against me?
Officially, peddling narcotics. Unofficially, the death of Frank Stewart.
Stewart?
An ex-customer of yours.
Never heard of him. Look, you got me all wrong. I ain't peddling this stuff anymore.
Gave it up, hmm?
That's right.
You expect us to believe that?
You can, I swear.
We don't believe you.
You got the stuff here in the room?
I told you, I'm out of the business.
Where's it hidden? The mattress, under the floor, or where?
I told you, I'm out of the
business. Where's the stuff?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'll rip open the mattress.
All right, Peter, that's as good a place as any to start.
Wait.
The mattress turned out to be the best place to start, Chief.
Where'd you buy it, Dayton?
What difference does it make?
A lot. Now answer, Mr. Harding, where?
I don't remember.
We may have a way of curing your memory.
I don't remember.
You ever hear of the Boggs Act, Dayton?
I don't remember where I bought it.
The Act makes it tough on characters like you.
The penalties for illegal sale of narcotics under the Act are increased to 2 to 5 years for a first offender only.
And you, Dayton, already have 2 counts against you.
For a second offender, 5 to 10 years.
Third offender gets hit even harder, 10 to 20.
10 to 20?
Think about that, Dayton.
Think hard. 10 to 20 for you.
10 to 20.
Sort of makes the peddling business real risky, doesn't it?
20 years.
Who did you buy it from, Dayton?
Do I get any kind of break if I tell?
I'm not promising you anything.
Figure it out, Dayton. Can you be worse off if you tell?
Well, Dayton?
Okay, all right.
We're listening.
I got the stuff over in Maryland.
Where in Maryland?
Glenton.
Where in Glenton?
Bowling Alley. Crystal Bowling Alley is the name of the place. Make a trip over there every month to pick up.
Pick up from whom?
Guy.
What guy? Come on, Dayton.
I don't know his name.
That's so? Dealing with him for how long?
About 6 months.
About 6 months, and you don't even know his name, hmm? Never formally introduced, is that it?
I'm not kidding. That's the way the operation was worked. He knows the peddlers, but the peddlers don't know him.
What do you think, Chief?
Well, it's possible.
The truth, I'll tell you the whole layout, and then you can check. You'll find out I'm not giving you the business.
You don't have to worry, Dayton. We'll find out. Come on. So you see, Miss Stewart, our next job is to find out who the seller is.
You didn't get his name from Blinky Dayton.
No, he said he didn't know it.
Believe him?
Well, I'm inclined to. Many times sellers play it that cozy.
But you know where the seller can be located.
Or if Dayton told us the truth, yes. Bowling alley over in Glenton. Uh-huh. That's where he made his purchase once a month. On the third Monday.
I wish I could see this thing through.
Well, you're going to. I'm going to put you on the case.
Oh, good.
But first, you've got just 10 days for a rapid training course in narcotics duty.
All right. And then what are your plans after that?
Well, on the appointed day, Miss Stewart, you will visit that bowling alley as Blinky Dayton's girlfriend. What'll it be, Miss?
Just ginger ale.
One ginger. Okay.
Not many bowling tonight, huh?
Who fills up late here, 11, 12 o'clock, the joint's jumping. Here's your ginger, straight.
Don't be fresh.
Just being friendly.
Well, just mop your bar and mind your own business.
Okay, girlie, if that's the way you want it.
That's the way.
Pardon me for breathing. What's yours, mister?
Beer.
Beer. Coming right up.
I didn't expect you here, Mr. Peters.
Chief wanted me to check, Miss Stewart, to be sure you're all set.
I'm all right.
You let it be known around yet that you're Blinky's girlfriend?
Yes, I...
Watch it.
One beer.
How much?
15.
Keep the change.
Thanks.
Know your stuff, Miss Stewart?
Yes, everything.
Blinky Dayton's record? And
back to his first arrest.
The narcotic terms?
Down to the last powder.
You've got the number to call?
Uh-huh.
If it gets rough, use it.
I will.
You'll be covered by agents anyway, just in case.
I hope I won't need them.
You never can tell. You scared?
Pretty much.
Remember what the chief said. You can back out anytime you want.
After what happened to my brother, what kind of a person do you think I am?
Me? I think you're swell.
Nice bowling. Two strikes in a row. I said nice bowling.
So I heard you.
Oh, another strike. Regular champ, huh?
You're in my way.
Oh, unfriendly type, huh?
Not to friends.
Well, maybe I'm not such a stranger. What's your name?
Why?
Maybe we got a mutual friend.
Yeah? Who would that be?
That would be Blinky Dayton.
I've been waiting for you.
Took my time looking you over. What's your name?
Helene Stewart. Blinky calls me Ellie.
What do I care what he calls you? I only care why you're here.
I'm making a pickup for Blinky.
What pickup?
You know.
Maybe I don't. Why didn't Blinky come himself?
Sick.
Sick from what?
Same thing that always troubles him. His ulcers.
Ulcers, huh?
Well, you know he complains about it to everybody.
So he's sick again, huh?
Don't believe me? Call him. You got his number.
He'll be there to get my call?
He's sick in bed. Where else would he be?
Okay, I'll call him.
He'll be there.
Take it from me. He better be.
Stewart, Mr. Harding. I'm in a drugstore phone booth down the street from the bowling alley.
Yes, I know. Agent Conway's in a car just down the block. He radioed the information to me. Did you make out all right?
Yes, your plan worked to the letter. He said he called Blinky, and Blinky told him he was sick.
Yes, we saw to that, too.
I haven't been able to get our contact's name yet.
Well, Peter spotted him talking to you in the bowling alley, and he recognized him as Charlie Vincent. We have a mile-long record on him. Now, what's your next step?
I'm to meet him in an hour.
Where?
The basement of an apartment house, 22 Elm Street, the boiler room.
He'll turn the stuff over to you then?
Said he would.
All right. That brings us up close to the finish.
Come in. You got the money?
Uh-huh. You got the stuff?
You know I like doing business with you. Better than with ugly Blinky, huh?
Blinky's expecting me back in Washington tonight.
Huh? What's your hurry?
Well, next time I won't be in such a hurry.
Then I can look forward to a return visit, huh?
Mm-hmm. You'll see me again, I'm sure.
Is that a promise?
It is. Now, how about the stuff?
Got them right here. Two capsules of H. Take them.
Suppose we take them, Vincent. There's only one exit from this boiler room, Vincent. Come on, if you want to try a break.
Cops.
You can wait outside, Miss Stewart.
All right, Mr. Harding.
She's with you.
She's one of us. Get those capsules, Peters. That's all the evidence we'll need to wrap him up.
You're not going to get any.
Hey, quick, Peters. Come on, you cough him up.
Too late, Chief. He swallowed him.
That's right, Chief. Too late. Now what are you going to do, huh, Chief?
We have ways, friend.
Who are you trying to kid, friend? I read the papers. Supreme Court threw out a case last month because the cops got their evidence that way. The Supreme Court is on my side. Could I ask for anything better?
You might be asking for a lot more before we're finished with you.
Who are you trying to scare? I know my constitutional rights. What can you do?
We can hold you for 24 hours.
So hold me. So what?
You take it from me, Vincent. They could turn out to be the worst hours of your life. Let's go. That door.
I can see it.
Inside. Here he is, Mr. Harding.
All right, Peters. Now you can ask Dr. Wheeler to step in.
Hey, listen. What's this all about, huh?
Doctor, this is a man. Vincent, this is Dr. Wheeler of the Narcotics Division.
Who needs a doctor? I never felt better.
Vincent, you've been held here for 6 hours so far.
Who's complaining? I can wait the rest easy.
Now, before Dr. Wheeler speaks with you, I want you to realize that he's under oath as a medical man to tell you only the absolute truth.
Truth about what?
Doctor?
You swallowed two capsules of heroin. Is that correct, Vincent?
So?
Now, I presume the capsule covering is composed of gelatin.
So?
The digestive juices are potent enough to dissolve even the strongest gelatins within 12 to 18 hours.
Hey, what's he getting at?
Your funeral, Vincent, maybe.
What?
Please go on, Doctor.
Two capsules of heroin, even if the narcotic is only of 25% strength, are enough to kill a dozen men.
What?
A dozen. Not just one, Vincent.
Now, I can safely say that if the capsules remain in your system, in a very short time, they'll prove fatal.
It means you'll be dead, then.
Dead?
I repeat, if the capsules remain in your system, in a very short time, they'll prove fatal.
Thank you, Doctor.
You're welcome, Mr. Harding.
Well, Doc, wait.
What is it, Vincent?
Well, you can't let me die.
It's not up to us.
Doc, you can't let me die. Now, you've got to save me.
He has to have your permission, Vincent. That's the law, Vincent. You're a stickler for the law. I must have your permission.
He's got it. He's got it, for the love...
He's got to help me.
Well, the doctor is quite willing to cooperate.
And he's ready to go to work.
And okay, let him do it. We're wasting time.
The doctor will work on you right after we get from you names and locations.
Names?
Of everyone you sell to and the people you buy from.
What's the matter with you? We can't waste time.
You're the one who's wasting time, Vincent.
It's up to you.
All right, I'll tell you everything you want to know, but let's get it over with fast.
Right, start the recorder, Peters.
Right.
All right, Vincent, go ahead. Into this microphone. Start talking.
Got it all, Mr. Harding?
Everything, Miss Stewart. Agents are now rounding up the people involved with Vincent.
Well, I guess you don't need me on this assignment anymore.
No, but I just stopped by to thank you.
It's all in the line of duty.
Well, a bit above and beyond.
You know how I wanted to help, Chief.
Yes, I know. Of course, it doesn't bring your brother back.
Well, if what I've done has helped others like Frank, then that's something.
Well, it's a great deal more. Although they'll never know who you are or what you've done, I assure you, Miss Stewart, many people are very much in debt to you.
Tune in next week, same time, same station, to another exciting counter-spy report to the American people. Next week, Case of the Captain on the Spot. Tonight's counter-spy program was directed by Marks B. Loeb and featured Don McLaughlin and Mandel Kramer with the Oscar Bradley Orchestra. Bill Rogers speaking. Counter-spy is a Phillips H. Lloyd production for the Gulf Oil Companies and your neighborhood good Gulf dealer.
Counter-spy on Tuned to Yesterday from February 14th, 1952 on NBC. And that wraps up this hour of crime on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for tuning in.